with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" And he told them, "Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
I don't know if you were here last week and listened to Father Ginu's funny at the beginning of his homily, but I will repeat it for you today. A pastor had trouble with his parking spot in the church parking lot. People kept parking in there, even though the sign read, "Reserved parking." So he decided to make another sign to see if he could jog their intentions, and put a sign out there that says, "Priests parking only." I think that's what ours says. And it didn't stop anybody. They kept parking there. So he thought he would get a little more strict, and knowing his parishioners, thinking that they follow the commandments of God, tried a sign that read like this, "Thou shalt not park here." He kept parking there, and he still had trouble finding his parking spot. So he sat down and thought a while and came up with these words: "The person who parks here will deliver the homily on Sunday." And guess where I park today? So I'm delivering the homily. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday. In Latin, that means rejoice. And typically we would wear the color rose, though it's not required. Purple is fine to wear, but we don't have the vestments for it, so we're wearing purple. But like the third candle of Advent, it's the color rose, signifying joy. But I did wear my rose socks. So, a lot of joy in my feet. But today we rejoice. We rejoice in the gift of life that has been given us. We were made in the image and likeness of God, created male and female. And in the complementarity of being created male and female, in marriage, we can participate in the grace of God through the procreation, education, and perpetuation of the children of God, a family. How many of us have a birthday? Well, I hope everybody would raise their hand. Happy birthday. All of us have a mother and a father, signifying the family. And this is the image that we're made in when we see the nativity of our Lord, the Holy Family. And we should be reflecting that. If we're not reflecting it, It's because of our sin. And we can't see that because of our sin. And that is what Satan wants to destroy in us, is that reflection of the Holy Family. Sister Lucia, who is one of the three children of Our Lady of Fatima, the visionaries, said that the final battle between good and evil is going to be over marriage and the family. Raymond Cardinal Burke wrote, "As Christians today, we find ourselves in a completely secularized society marked by violence and death, and by a relativism which has generated profound confusion and outright error regarding the most fundamental truths of the moral law. The sanctity of human life, the understanding of marriage, and the lifelong and faithful union between one man and one woman, and the role of the family as the first cell of society and of the church, have suffered very much in the present culture of death." St. John Paul the Great said that, "So goes the family, so goes society." In the gospel last week, we hear of John the Baptist going throughout the region preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And that was prophesied in Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Today, in our first reading, the prophet Zephaniah says, "Rejoice, for the Great One, the Lord, is in our midst now." Father Ginu said last week, pointed out that the mountains and the hills, the valleys and the gorges, the winding roads and the rough paths represented our sins that were holding us back from reflecting the Holy Family. And that filling the valleys and making the mountains and the hills low and making the winding roads straight and the rough paths smooth was the act of God. And we know that because I'm going to imagine that everyone here is baptized. And when we are baptized, we are made perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. We are freed from original sin, but that doesn't stop Satan from attacking us. So here we are in the gospel today, where John is asked the question, "What should we do?" And his answer is simple. He says, "Quit sinning. It's that easy." Actually, it's that hard. Even the tax collectors asked, "What should we do?" Same answer. Quit sinning. The soldiers, the same thing. Quit sinning. And he informs us that he's not the one that is coming, but somebody mightier than him is coming that will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so we become clean. John testifies to this with his life. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord." So on our journey now, this is what we should be doing. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. He calls us to prayer, petition, and then thanksgiving, so that in prayer, we pray for ourselves, that we may become holy, that we may become all that God created us to be. In petition, we pray for others. "Lord, my neighbor is in trouble. Give him what he needs. Lord, protect those who are in the way of a hurricane. Lord, make my family holy." And then the third, it's in thanksgiving. When I was teaching catechism, I had an exercise for the kids to pray a prayer of thanksgiving and give thanks for everything. And I gave an example of it. "Thank you, Lord, for my shoelaces, that they keep my shoes on my feet. Thank you for the soles of my shoes, that they keep my feet from touching the ground. Thank you for covering my feet, that I won't catch cold. Thank you for my feet, that I may be able to walk." And go on and on and on in thanksgiving. And things came up that we didn't realize, like, "Thank you for those who made the shoelaces. and the money that they made and the money that they spent, the economy keep going, and these things that we don't think about, and how that helps everybody. John the Baptist was preaching a baptism of repentance. And repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia, which literally means change of mind. And if we do a prayer of thanksgiving, we can change our mind in the way we look at things. The way we look at the shoes, the way we look at the shoelaces, the way we look at our feet, the way we look at our neighbor, the way we look at the church. Our mind starts changing. And what results in that is the way we act. Because our mind can't just change, we have to act. And the fruits of our act should be in charity and honesty and social justice. These are the things that reflect the Holy Family. So I take Paul's advice and rejoice in the Lord always. Sometimes we get the message across saying those words. Sometimes we get the message across writing it down. Other times we sing it out. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Well, I hope and pray that as we live this life of reflection of the Holy Family, that after we draw our last breath here on earth, we're able to sit before God and say, happy birthday, for the third time in our life.